Hi, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This program is number 502. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how. At the end of the program, please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're both free, including the postage and the handling. I have Bible reading. I've got tremendous things of the Word of God to expose to your soul, that it won't be lost and dead or dying or spend eternity dying and screaming itself out in the lake of fire and hell, where you'll be gnashing on your teeth, the grinding of them, and that you'll be chewing on your tongue for pain. These are things. Now, there's a lot of people that like to speak smooth things. Many of them are weighed in the balances and found wanting, because the Bible tells us that God is a God of love, yes, but He also is a very strict God that tells you what you must do in order to receive His love. Many people think that a few sins every day is all right. But it's not. I'm going to get into that a little bit later. The Bible says if you've broken one commandment, you've broken them all. And some people sin every minute of the day. They don't keep their eyes stayed upon the Lord. We got some good music for you too. And I tried to present the gospel in a way where it's easy for you to receive. I know you would rather hear smooth things. If that's what you want, well, then you tune in Joel Osteen. Okay, he'll tell you all kinds of smooth things. And according to a report, he states that, he says everybody knows that they're a sinner and no one's perfect. And so, you know, everybody knows they're a sinner, so I don't feel like rubbing it in. I try to make them more comfortable in their sinning. Well, I don't, okay? I'm a lot different to that, because it is not true that everybody sins, because I know that, because I don't. I do not, I will not knowingly sin. And I'm not gonna preach that or try to make people feel comfortable in their sin, because eternity, hell, the lake of fire is forever. And you're not gonna be comfortable there. You may find Mr. Osteen gratifying to you today, and if that's what you want, well, that's what you get for listening to him. But I don't like to feel make people feel comfortable about their sinning, because the soul that sins shall die. And we're not to think of ourselves as being comfortable when we sin. So you'd think that a few sins every day is all right, or even one sin is all right. But that isn't true. Therefore, the Bible states that He will bring many sons into glory, but there'll be many souls that will be sent into hell. To rule, the Lord has called us to into this world to rule it. As a matter of fact, He's always wanted man to rule the world, and He gave the world to Adam and his wife Eve to rule. And instead, they let Satan, they believed Satan, that they should listen to him rather than to the Lord, so they could not be glorified. Jesus came into the world to rule also, because no one else had ruled. Adam failed, and every man up till Jesus failed to rule as well. And so, but he did rule. And therefore, he was glorified. And everyone that will rule by allowing a Christ to live within them will be able to rule. And everyone that rules will be glorified, because to rule is to be glorified. Anyone that rules, they are glorified. Now, Satan wants to be glorified. That's why he wants to rule the earth. That's why he wanted to in the first place. And he is ruling but he's doing it illegally. And the Lord has sent me into this world to take that rule away from him. So if you're a ruler, you're glorified. And to be glorified is to rule. Why is it glorified to be ruled? Because the Lord will live in you and he will glorify you because he is glorified. And if we're in his body, then we're glorified. But if you're outside of his body, you don't rule anything. The Bible says that you can't even rule your tongue. And therefore, we have to be in the Spirit. We have to let Christ live in us so that we can rule our tongue, so that the things that we say are not our own sayings, but they're the sayings of the Lord. When the many sons have obtained authority and restored the kingdom of heaven here on this earth, then they will be brought triumphantly into glory. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Now, you have preachers that would preach that you're all glorified right now, and he's talking to everybody on the TV that's watching TV, and they're sinners, and they're sitting there drinking bottles of beer or sucking up some kind of illicit thing, or they're on drugs. We should never presume that God's purpose is merely to save us from hell, that we may enjoy the blessings of heaven. Of course, that's what we're interested in. But we must remember that God intends for man to follow his Son in the exercise of his authority on earth. So Jesus came in and ruled. He cast devils out of people. People were being ruled by sickness, disease, infirmities. They were ruled by lust. They wanted to steal. No thief shall enter the kingdom of heaven. No adulterer, no fornicator, no homosexual, no lesbian shall enter the kingdom of God. No blasphemer shall enter the kingdom of God. People that worship other things, anything other than God, are blaspheming God. God wants to accomplish something, but he will not do it himself. God has always used human flesh. Even in the kingdom of heaven, the people that are there will be ruling in the kingdom of heaven. They'll have jobs that God gives. He's like a ruler. He has people under him. And he will give large portions of heaven for people to rule. And he knows that they'll rule correctly because they ruled correctly while they were here on earth. Anyone says, well, no one's perfect. Let me tell you something. If you're imperfect, you're not entering into the kingdom of heaven. There's only one other alternative, and that is the pit of hell and the lake of fire. And so why would God give authority in the kingdom of heaven if they wouldn't even take the authority that he gives them here on this earth? Amen?
Amen.
Now, the authority the Lord gives you is he gives you his authority. That means that he's the only one that ever beat Satan. And so in him, if we're in him and he is in us, then we're more than conquerors over Satan. Sin, Satan, death, hell, the grave, and we will overcome. We're overcomers, those of us that are in Christ, and Christ is in us. So he will, but the Lord still does not do it himself. He uses human flesh. He wants us, you and I, Mr. and Mrs. Human Being, to do it. Like many managers of businesses, they don't want to manage the whole business themselves. They hire people to do it. After all, they've paid their dues. Christ has paid his dues. And now he, by the Spirit, wants to live in you and show you the right thing to do and give you the power to do the right thing. And so, if you allow him in, this is the reason you do that, is so that you can enter heaven. But he wants you to do something before you go to heaven. He wants you to show your worthiness to be able to rule in heaven. So he tests you out by allowing you to rule on earth. And if you cast your rulership away and just think that it's no big deal, and that you think that you can sin many times a day or even one time a day on a continuous basis, well, then forget about going to heaven and prepare yourself to go to hell, because you're going there for sure. Now, you say, well, we don't like the way you threaten people. Let him, Buster, or Mr. or Mrs., pal. I'm not threatening you. The Lord is threatening you. I'm just telling you what he says. Amen?
Amen.
And let me tell you something. The Lord cannot lie. So they hire people to do stuff. I can't run this ministry myself. I have distributors all over the country. And Christ is living in them all over the world. And I've got people that are in the church that do the printing of the literature. I can't do that. I have people that do the actual running of the machinery for me to even be able to preach the gospel on the air. I don't know how to run computers and all these different things. I mean, and I don't want to take time to learn how to do it, because if there's other people to do it, why should I take the time away from the things that God has told me to do, which is preaching and writing and teaching? He said for me to teach everybody, and that's what I do. That's my job. All right, and so I can't teach unless there's people that type up stuff for me, that look up scriptures for me. I'm legally blind. I have to have people help me. All right, there's people that cook. There's people that serve. There's people that print. There's people that go out into the streets all over the world and distribute literature. And that's the way the Lord does it. He wants us to rule in the position that he's called us to rule in. So they, people that have businesses here in this world, they don't do it themselves. They hire people to do it. They hire servants. Not slaves, servants, amen?
Amen.
To help serve the Lord as I do. Only in the capacity that the Lord has called. We have to have mechanics. We have to have drivers to drive people here and there. Everybody is necessary. We have to have cooks and people that run the food from the cooking facility to the churches so that they can eat. There's people that do purchasing. Everybody is important. Amen?
Amen.
Well, we have done it. Then God will have attained his purpose. All this is so that we can attain God's purpose. And if we do what he wants us to do so far as his purpose is concerned, then God will bless us and we'll be able to go to heaven instead of hell in the lake of fire. God desires to obtain a group of men, a body of men, the body of Christ, who will do his work here on this earth. Some people say, Jesus did it all. He did all the work, and so we don't have to do anything. But Jesus says, I will show you, and this is James, through the Holy Spirit, which is Jesus, I will show you my faith by my works. That's in the book of James, James 2:18. We're going to be judged, the Bible says, by all of our works. The Bible says that in Revelations 20, 12, and 13. You want to read it? One of you helpers, one of you rulers, help me rule? Come on.
Okay.
Come on now. Go ahead, read.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works.
Right, so anyone that tells you that we don't have to work, Jesus did it all. No, Jesus had disciples, and he didn't even do it all. He gave them the power to cast out devils, to lay hands on people that were sick and cast out the sickness, and to raise the dead, The Lord wants, he's like a vine all over the world. He says, the Father is the farmer, the husbandman. It's like God's farm. And he says, I am the branch, the vine, and you people are the branches. So you have to be in me in order to be, before you can do something. You pull a branch off of a vine or off of a tree, and the branch dies. Without the branch, without the vine, you can do nothing. And without the Father, you can do nothing either, because we're still human beings and we're still in the flesh. Yet, we are God men and women because we have Jesus living in us and through us. And so we're going to be judged by the things that we do, because the Lord is constantly telling us what to do. And if we refuse to do it, then we're sinning many times a day. There's all kinds of things. Somebody that you don't like the way they comb their hair comes up before you. You don't want to talk to them in a decent tone. And, if there's a devil, demon-possessed people, I'm going to talk to him just like Jesus says. He says, come out of him. Get thee hence, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. That's what I do to devils, too. I talk to them that way. And some people say, well, you're controversial. Yes, I am, and so is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Ah, yeah, so you're not controversial. That means that you're a nothing. You're doing nothing. Some people think it's funny that I'm controversial. I don't think it's funny. I think it's fantastic. Jesus was controversial. Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the prophets were controversial. Moses was controversial. And if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to be controversial too. And if you're not, well, you're not going to be in heaven with Jesus. You're not going to be in heaven with the Apostle Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Hezekiah, or any of the prophets, Moses, any of the people. Joshua, the whole bunch of us. You're not going to be there. So be controversial, but do it. Let the Lord be controversial. Anyone, he tells you to do something, don't be stubborn and not do it. Do it, because if you don't, you're not a ruler. When we're ruling on earth, that means God's ruling on earth through us. Through us, I mean mankind. Okay? So when we're ruling on earth, that means that God is ruling on earth. If you're not letting God rule in you, if you're not ruling, then you're a nothing. And this is what the Bible says. If God is not in you, then the salt is not in you. And if the salt is not in you, you're not of God. And you're nothing more than something that needs to be trodden under the foot of man. And remember, if you rule here, God will allow you to rule in the kingdom of heaven. If you don't rule here, well, then you're lukewarm, and he's going to spit you out of his mouth. When we're ruling on earth, that means God, you're letting God rule on earth through you. All right, now let's go up to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint this service as though he hasn't already. Okay, Father, I thank you for anointing this far. And Lord, I ask you to continue ruling in this service and continue it, Lord, and let people know the very status of what that you called us for. We're here on earth not to do our own thing. We're here on earth that you should rule in us. And of course, in us, through us. You want to abide in us, not to take a occupy a little space inside of our body, but you want to totally live in us until the fullness of you lives thoroughly throughout us, that we become completely grown up in faith with the entire armor of God, until the fullness of the stature, until the fullness of you grows up thoroughly in us, until we become a fully matured God man. Lord, let that be a thing that gets into everybody's mind, their spirit, their soul this evening, that they may be saved, and that the church be strengthened in Jesus' name. I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Now, I told you about the blenders. They have the most fantastic bass singer I've ever heard. Listen closely to him as they sing. And the other rest of the group is excellent as well. I'm not saying that, but I've never heard a bass singer. And I've been in the music business for years. I've never heard a bass singer this good. They're singing for you now, "O Come All Ye Faithful."
O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. O come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ. Ooh. Oh, ah, sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Oh, glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ. Come, all ye faithful, come before him, come and adore him, Christ.
Praise the Lord. Did you hear that? That is magnificent. It's just like that man is right on every note, just like white is on rice. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Christian laborer, the Lord wants you to labor to hide the word of God in your heart. That's the thing that we are supposed to do, is to hide the word of God in your heart. Christians labor to this, labor to hide the word of God in your heart. That is, in your conscience. If the word of God is in your conscience, then whenever you attempt to try, or the devil attempts you to do something that is wrong, well, your conscience will immediately say no. You draw a big circle around it and put a line through it and say no. Let it in your heart, or your conscience, have a throne, and it will keep you in a holy, awesome place. Look upon the word as stamped with divine authority. Whatever the Lord says that you can do, it is stamped. It means that you have the authority to do it. And of course, if you don't do it, well, then that means that you are not accepting the authority that God has given you. If you have it in your heart, if you receive the word of God in your heart, well, then your heart is stamped with your conscience is stamped with divine authority, the law which our great and powerful God has given you. You may think of yourself as a poor creature to walk, to do this sort of thing. But the God has given you, you poor creature, he's given it to you to walk by. What has he given you to walk by? the commandment to hide the word of God in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because if it's not in your heart, you won't rule. And if you don't rule, you won't be in heaven. This impressed on your conscience would make you tremble at the thought of sin, which is the traitor's dagger that strikes at God himself by the content it casts upon God's law. And if some assassins intending to stab a prince have been so overawed with a few beams of majesty short from his mortal brow. Now, we're just mortals. Amen?
Amen.
So, if you become so overawed at the things that the Lord has commanded you to do, and you don't believe that you actually have the power to do that, then your mortal brow, it gets wrinkled. So much that their hearts would not save them in any way to make the horrid attempt to do what? To do God's will. To not even make an attempt to hide the word of God in your heart so that you can rule for him. How much more must the dread of the great God's majesty darted from his word into you, the creature's conscience, deter you or him from participating, in other words, in practicing any treason against your maker? You're going to, if you do what the Lord says, you begin ruling. First of all, you have to get yourself under the rulership of the Holy Spirit. We must allow God's Spirit to rule us and to mortify our will, to mortify every lust that's in us, so that we can be an instrument for our Maker's work. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. This is a quote, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Psalms 119, 161. Can you catch that real fast? So princes have persecuted me. Now there's a lot of people that call themselves princes and kings in this world today, and presidents, and they've persecuted me also without a cause. But my heart trusts God. I stand in awe of his word because I know that he says that there isn't any weapon formed against me that can prosper, okay? These phony princes, they have, you know, the real princes are those of us that are the people of the Lord that rule for him here on this earth. Now, you have a secular government that doesn't amount to anything, really. They're all, if they don't repent, going to become chaff. So this is Psalms 119, verse 161.
Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word.
Right, sing, do another verse right there.
I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil.
Yeah, a great treasure. Boy, I'm glad I found these things in the word because it's given me the power to be able to continue ruling, even while I've been thrown in prison. As if he had said, David that is, I had rather incur their wrath for my holiness than make thy word my enemy by my sin. They're trying to get me to sin. They're trying to get every one of us to join up with the Catholic cult that is filthy and full of lice and demons. It's like the synagogue of Satan. So David says that I would rather receive the wrath of man for my holiness than to make your word my enemy by my sin. Well, why don't you want God's word to be your enemy? Why? Because his word is God. And anybody that is so foolish as to want to have God's word as your enemy, you are crazy. You're the craziest person on earth. And the Bible says that you're a fool, because he that believes that the word of God is not God is a fool. That's what the Bible says, that Jesus is the word of God, and therefore believe on the whole word of God and thou shalt be saved. Now, number two, look upon the word of God as that law by which you are to be judged at the great day of judgment. So you look at the word of God, and God isn't going to pull out some new rule book on you to judge you with. It's going to be the very same Bible, the King James Bible, that you read. Now, there's a lot of government Bibles, and I would caution you people not to read them, because they say that there's no way that you can fall away when the Bible plainly states that he'll blot your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life, or he'll spit you out of his body. So here's the quote. Quote, God shall judge the secrets of man, according to my gospel, unquote. Now, where would you think that would be? God is a God of of judgment. All of God's ways are judgment. That's in Romans 2:16. Okay, find that. Ready, set, go. Whoever got it first.
In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel.
Then the book of your conscience shall be opened. Did you know that there's a book of your conscience? It's right inside of you. And you have a conscience, and you ignored your conscience that is telling you, don't do that. Do this, and then you'd back off and you won't do it. And so your conscience is constantly being written on. The book in there is being, all these things are being written. And that's why when we're judged, a lot of people says the judgment day is going to be a long thing. No, it won't. It goes just like that. Because it's like a computer. We are walking computers. The Lord has everything computed in us. And that conscience, when you stand before the Lord, everything that you've ever done or said, even your words and your thoughts are in there and on the computer. Do you think that only these guys that are here on earth are able to make computers? You're a computer. God judges everything that there is. So the book of your conscience, the book of your conscience, yeah, the book of your conscience shall be opened and compared to the word of God. And accordingly, will sentence you to either life or death, heaven or hell. And that could happen tonight, folks. Amen? Could happen 5 minutes from now. It will be pronounced by Christ, your judge. You may know beforehand how it will go with you at the judgment bar on that day. Thou shalt know how it will go with thee at that day. Yes. If at present you would not be able to stand before the word as opened to you here on earth by some poor minister, some guy that doesn't even got enough money to buy food for his children, because you want to buy something that is not necessary, and your poor minister had opened the Bible unto you, or the least esteemed person in the congregation, just somebody that just got saved and came in. He doesn't know the word of God, but the minister can open up the word to him and tell him, okay, now read what the Lord's going to judge this person through. What about Ananias and Sapphira? They stole money from the church. They didn't give the church everything that they had when the Lord gave everything that he had, and they say that they're not going to give everything to the Lord. As a matter of fact, most of the people don't even give anything to the true work of God, and God is taking care of us anyway. But you're going to be taken care of. You're going to be dealt with in a very bad way on the day of judgment. So this minister opens up the word unto you so you can see, or some least esteemed person in the congregation, and applied by your own conscience. What will you do when it is opened by Christ? Your own conscience is going to point its bony finger at you when you're doing something, and the minister, some poor minister, opens up the Bible and reads it to you, or some just a new person in the church opens it up to you, and you get convicted, but you reject the conviction. But what is going to happen to you when it is opened to you by the Lord Jesus Christ? Your conscience from the Word of God condemns you, but not finally, for by your timely repentance and faith, the sentence of his private court that you hold may be reversed. In other words, if you repent of your sin, when your conscience is being attacked by the Word of God, then you repent and your sentence will be reversed. You won't go to hell. You won't go to the lake of fire. And the Word, which even now bounds you over to death, will acquit and justify you, but at the great day of judgment, there will be a final decision of your case, as then the judgment goes against thee. If it does, thou art a lost man forever. I mean, forever is a long time, folks. No reversing the sentence to be expected. Not so much as a reprieve to stay the execution, but as the word goes out of the judge's mouth, the sinners face is covered to be immediately delivered into the torments of hell, that is, to the tormentor's hands. And do any of you dare now, O man, to bid any lust welcome? Do you want to bid some lust in your depraved soul to come on and, you know, let me partake in this lust? Do you welcome the lust while you see the hangman's noose or the guillotine or the gibbet set up and the everlasting claims prepared, in which the Word of God dooms you, and not only you, but every sinner, to hang, burn forever? Can you read your sentence in the Word of God and yet like and love any kind of sin that brings it inevitably upon your head? The word, number three, now the word, quote, heart, unquote, in Scripture is most frequently taken to be for your will. In other words, your will is in your heart, and it's for your will and your affections. Quote, my son, give me thy heart, unquote. Proverbs 23:26. Give me your heart means give me your love, thy love. Give me your love, thy love. give me your heart, the Lord is saying. Do you have it?
Yes.
Okay, Proverbs 23:26.
My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways.
Read the next one.
For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit.
Yeah, strange woman is a narrow pit. I don't understand how these guys, no matter how lustful they are, how they could go out on the street and pick up one of these flea bags. It's the worst way of rolling the dice. AIDS is predominant in the streets. Amen?
Amen.
Give me your heart means give me your love, thy love. So Deuteronomy 10:12. To love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart. It says all your heart, not just, you know, 1% of it a day. Some people think they can sin many times a day. Have you got it?
Yes.
Okay, so read it, Deuteronomy 10:12.
And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
With all thy heart. There can't be anything else in your heart. You say, with all your heart. Whoa, you're just sliding over the word all. To serve the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. All, A-L-L in caps. Then what?
With all thy heart and with all thy soul.
Right. Therefore, Christian, to hide the word in your heart would be a rare antidote against the poison of sin, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it?
Amen.
Amen. In other words, if you hide the word of God in your heart, this is a very precious and rare antidote against the poison of sin. If it was there, while we're talking about poison, you know, everything seems to be poison, and I know that that distresses a lot of people, but when you hide the word of God into your heart, the Bible says, if you pray over your food, you will eat any poisonous thing. Of course, if you take poison on purpose, that's tempting the Lord thy God, but there's so much preservatives, so much everything in food today. Steroids, medicines, horrible things, that if you eat these poison, but we're talking about the poison of sin right now, but I just wanted to say that pray before you eat anything, because the Lord will make the poison of it go away. If it was there. But of course, the Lord told me don't eat any beef and don't eat any dairy. So there must be something so insidious in it. My brother kept eating beef, and he's kept eating banana splits and things like this, and he died, and he's younger than I am. Now it's about over 3 years older than him, and I'm still lifting heavy weights and everything, and But I pray over my food. I exercise, like the Lord said. He said, if I exercise and eat properly, don't eat any dairy and don't eat any exercise every day, I'll live another 40 years. So you can take that for what you will. I'm not practicing medicine because I'm certainly not a doctor, but I do follow what the Lord says, and it's a very smart thing for you to do. And, you know, some of the people out there, even if you're a sinner, though, and you eat poisonous thing, even if you prayed over it, you don't believe in the Lord, you're still going to die when he destroys you. So the word of God in your heart is a very precious and rare antidote against the poison of sin. If it was there, the chains of love are stronger than the chains of fear. The wrong kind of fear. There's good fear and there's bad fear. The good fear is to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is wisdom. Herod's love of Herodias was too hard for his fear of John to drive away from him. He really feared John, and that was a good fear because he was saying the things that the Lord says to do. But his love for Herodias' love was too hard for his fear of John to do away with her desires. Yet he had some hold of his conscience that awed him and bound his hands a while, just long enough to command for John's head to be taken from off of his body. But his minion had his affections, and the heart can unbind the hands. How can the heart unbind your hands? Well, if you don't have the Word of God in your heart, there's always going to be some kind of persuasion from Satan to cause you to sin. But if you've got the Word of God hidden in your heart, your hag of a wife could tell you, cut John the Baptist's head off, or cut Tony Alamo's head off, or cut, nail Jesus to the cross. And there's no Word of God to mortify the things that the fiery darts, the things that Satan is telling you to do. And so there's no power of God's word, which is God, in you. And therefore, your heart cannot unbind. It can unbind the hands that you would slay somebody, some great prophet of God. His love to her made him shake off his respect to him, to John. And at last, imbrued his hands in his blood. And so this lust that was in him caused him to, and because of his word, you know, like his word is some kind of a big deal, had him do that and cause his soul to go to hell. He that is only prisoner to the command and bound to his good behavior by the claims of terror, which the threatening clasp upon his conscience may have those knocked off just like a bunch of blocks. And then he will shake off his obedience also. But a person that loves the word and the purity of its precepts cannot turn traitor, because the word in his heart. If you have the word of God in your heart, you will not be a traitor to any member of the body of Christ. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I believe it. Do you?
Yes.
Amen. When such a one sins, he makes as deep a wound in his own heart as in the law, and therefore trembles at displeasing God. Quote, I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of thee. Not because of Herod or Herodias, Herod's wife and her daughter, which is his stepdaughter, which is also an illicit situation because he married his brother's wife while he was still alive. That's Psalms 119, 120. Read it, somebody. 119, 120. Read it.
My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments.
Right, because the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments, and if you don't, you're going to go to hell. There isn't anything that you won't do. Oh, that is the blessed fear, which is the daughter of love. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. Amen?
Amen.
Well, what do you mean? It says so, doesn't it, in the Bible? Amen. We've been reading it, 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Not to inflame your heart with love to the word. Consider that it is the faithfulest, the most faithful monitor. We have to be monitored, and we're always monitored. Like I said, we're computers. And the sweetest comfort that you have in all the world. Okay, now let's read a little bit more from the Word of God. We've only got 1 minute, so hurry, hurry.
Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power.
So everything in the entire universe is held up by the Word of God. That's his power. The power of God is the Word of God, which is also the Holy Spirit. It's spirit and life. Okay, then what?
When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee?
So God never even told an angel anything like that, and he calls us sons. And the Bible says that we're going to judge the very angels. And so the most important thing is to get the Word or the Lord Jesus into your heart. And that's what we do right now. My time is up. And so I never end a sermon without giving everyone out in Radio Land or anywhere else, the opportunity to receive the Word, the Lord, the power, God Almighty, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, into your heart. And the way you do it, this is the initial step, and the Bible says it's so easy that a little child can understand it. And so, you know, people lose their souls because they try to complicate the gospel. It's easy. It's easily entreated. Just say this prayer to start out, and let the Lord do the rest. Say to him, My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, you did that. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you, the Word, the Spirit, the life, into my heart. You, Jesus, and Father, and Holy Spirit, wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, Sharon, just praise and thank the Lord now. And Sharon, tell him how to receive a copy of this broadcast, this tape, this audio tape, or CD, number 502.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in again tomorrow for another dynamo message from the Holy Spirit. These are all stepping stones for you to reach heaven on the final day and stay there. Now here again, the blenders and that magnificent bass voice to sing for you. Hark the herald angels sing.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do, joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. The everlasting Lord in a manger born a king, while adoring angels, the angels singing of peace on earth to man goodwill. Mid the tremblings all be still, Christ on earth has come to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Life and light to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.